Several people and say, I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Pastor Joel is getting refreshed this week, so we're one of the staff guys that get the honor to stand behind the same pulpit that he does from time to time. We get to stand in for him, and so it's an honor to be here tonight to represent Pastor Joel to you, and I can tell you they love you. We love you as a staff, and we're just grateful for each and every one of you, and thank God for the opportunity to be able to help you and speak into your life. But, you know, Pastor said at the beginning of this year that he wanted to go deeper, and we talked about going deeper in relationships, and then we talked for the last several weeks about going deeper in prayer. And as I waited on the Lord, and the Lord told Pastor Joel to let me speak, I waited on the Lord, and I believe that the word that he gave to me was this, that we need to take advantage of this reality, and that is this: in order for God to bless us, in order for God to help us, in order for God to strengthen us and to lead us and to guide us and to direct us, to inspire us, to lift us and help us, we need to go deeper in His Word. Amen. You know, that's the foundation for your faith. That's the foundation for your life. It's the foundation for relationships. It's the foundation for your business. It's the foundation for peace, for strength, for the anointing. It's the foundation for every area of your life, the Word of God is. And so when people exhort you to get in the Word, you ought to take heed to that. You ought to know that the Word is very, very important. It's very vital to your faith. It's vital to your health. It's vital to your well-being. It's vital to your strength. It's vital to your home life. It's vital to your business. Amen. It's vital to your future. It's vital to your present. The Word of God is so vital that if people really realized how needful it is to take advantage of that Word, I'll tell you what, you couldn't get people away from it. Amen. Now, let's go back, and we're going to talk a little bit about going deeper in God's Word tonight, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. Pastor taught on this little portion of Scripture a few weeks back. But in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now, when you talk about the devil, you should call him the defeated one. Amen. Jesus whooped him real good. So don't even flatter him calling him the devil. When you mention him, just say the defeated one, because he's supposed to be under your feet anyway. That was free. To be tempted of the devil, or the defeated one. It says, "And when he had fasted for 40 days and nights," boy, what a deal that must have been. He was afterward hungered. Well, you would be too. It says, "And when the tempter came to him," right after he's in the wilderness these 40 days and he's hungry, the tempter comes unto him and he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread." Well, he knew he was hungry. He knew that Jesus could do miracles. And then he asked him a crazy question. He says, "Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just go ahead and turn the stone into bread, Jesus, if you're such a hot deal?" And look what Jesus answered him with. "But he answered and said," how many of you know that the Word always has an answer? Yeah. Amen. It's got an answer for fear. It's got an answer for doubt. It's got an answer for unbelief. It's got an answer for anger. It's got an answer for confusion. It's got an answer for sickness and disease and poverty and lack. Not getting along, the Word always has an answer. Tell your neighbor, the Bible is God's answer book. You know, you all got to help me preach. It helps if you help me anyway. It says, "And he answered and he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone." Man shall not live by bread alone. I don't know about you, but I like bread. I like baked bread, I like hot bread, I like banana bread. I like bread and sandwiches. I like bread. Amen. But my most favorite is bread pudding. Glory to God. If you want to put a smile on my face, bread pudding anyway. But here he says, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, natural bread will take care of your natural body. But he says, you're not going to live just by eating normal food. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. But how? But by every word, every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, that's how you're going to learn to really live. When you learn to get in God's Word. When you learn to take God at His Word. When you learn to spend time in God's Word. When you learn to read God's Word and to just create an appetite in your heart where you got to have God's Word. He says, when you do that, he says, you'll learn how to really live. Because how many of you know folks know how to eat? There's not a one of you out there that doesn't know how to eat bread. Now, there might be some of you that don't eat bread. I feel sorry for you if you don't. But he said here, you can't live by bread alone, but you'll learn how to really live. Hallelujah. When you take hold of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, because God doesn't waste time with His Word. His Word will save you. His Word will heal you. His Word will bless you. His Word will inspire you. His Word will heal you. His Word will save you. His Word will enlighten you. His Word will deliver you. His Word will encourage you. His Word will pick you up. Amen. So we want to look at some benefits of God's Word. And I told them back there in the sound booth, if you can go ahead and follow me along here. There are multiple benefits of God's Word. I'm going to give you a seminar in one night because, you know, when you get to do these one-shot things, David, you got to back up the wagon and just let the tailgate down and just let it go. So you're going to have to take these scriptures on your own and go back to them and receive them and go over them and you get the benefits. Can we put up Proverbs chapter 4? Verses 17 through 22. These are all scriptures out of the King James Version. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 17. All right? It says, it is healing and medicine to all your flesh. Healing and medicine to all your flesh. In that context, it says, my son, he says, attend to my words. He says, incline your ears unto my sayings. He says, don't let my word depart from before your eyes. He says, keep my word in the midst of your heart. Why? Because he says, my word is health or healing or medicine to all your flesh. There's power in God's word to keep your body healthy. You know, I teach in healing school on Sundays, and a lot of times people come in there because the doctor told them they're not going to live. And I'll tell you what, if we can get them to sit down and receive God's Word and get the Word in them concerning healing, we can get them healed. We really can, because there's power in the Word. It says right there that Word will heal you. The Word of God will heal you. It's health and healing or medicine to all your flesh. But you have to get the Word in you. Then in Psalm 119, if we can get that up there, we're going to look at another benefit of the Word. Praise the Lord. Do you know that patience is a virtue? All right, well, if it's not going to be up there, we'll go with it anyway. Psalm 119, you got your Bibles? Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a hand back there. They do a good job. Psalm 119 and 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word, it's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. In other words, he's saying that he's given you the word to know which way to go. Some people go through life, you know, and they just do their own thing. They wake up in the morning and they kind of sarah, sarah. And a lot of times people make decisions about where to live and who to marry and where to invest your money and how to spend your time. And sometimes they haven't taken the time to get in God's Word. And He says right here that His Word, it's a lamp unto your feet. And it says that His Word, it's a light unto your path. So He's saying if you get in the Word, you'll know which way to go. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my life trying to figure out on my own, Lester, which way to go and what to do. And I know that He tells me right here that if I get in His Word will be a lamp onto my feet and His Word will be a light onto my path. Amen? In other words, He says, if you'll get in my Word will keep you on track. All right. Here's another one of His multiple benefits. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to go through a few of these. Romans chapter 1. We'll start in verse 14. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, He says, I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ, amen. To those that are at Rome, He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So here He's saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, when it's talking about salvation, we understand that the Greek word soterio means sozo, or to be saved or healed or delivered or set free. It means to be made whole. And here we see, He says, for in therein is the righteousness of God revealed, the just shall live by faith. But that faith is backed up by the Word of God, which brings us that power into our life that we need in order to walk in the power of God and to see the salvation. See, the Word of God, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is the power of God unto saving you. Amen?
Yeah.
It'll save you from situations and problems when you get it in you. All right, now let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're just taking a walk together through the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4. If we want to go deeper, we got to know why we're going deeper. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is quick, which means it's alive, and it's powerful. So the Word of God here, it says to you, it's something that's living, it's alive. You can read other books, but they don't do for you what the Bible will do. The Bible is the Word of God. And here He says that that Word is alive or quick. It's alive and powerful, or you could say it like this, for the Word of God is alive and full of power, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit. In other words, you get the Word in your heart, it'll tell you what's in your head and what's really in your heart. It's a divider. That'll help you in making the right decisions. It says in the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of your heart. But the thing I want to try to get across here is that that Word of God, the Bible says, it's alive and it's powerful. In other words, it's up to you how much power that you walk in. Some people can go through life and they can have all kinds of problems and situations facing them. And if you look at their life, you would never know that they had anything going on. No problems or situations, when in reality, they're facing all kinds of stuff. But Smith Wigglesworth, you know, that raised a bunch of people from the dead, he was real small in stature. He was a little bitty fella. But he always used to say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. because he wouldn't even allow a newspaper to go into his house. If you came in his house, he wouldn't let you bring anything in there but the Bible, the Word of God. That's how, you know, that's how dedicated that he was to the Word of God. And he knew that scripture right here, that the Word of God, folks, the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's full of power. When you watch Christians and you see how they react to problems and situations in life, it's real easy to tell where their faith is. Because if they're in the Word, they might have problems all around them, because we all do. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, don't worry about that. He says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. When you're full of the Word of God and you know you have the greater one on the inside of you, it doesn't matter what's going on out there when you know what's going on in here. Because you know that that force of faith coming out of your heart, it'll change. I've talked about that. It'll change people, it'll change places, and it'll change things. God's Word is powerful. It's more powerful than poverty. It's more powerful than sickness and disease. It's more powerful than any situation you'll ever face. That's what God's Word will do for you. It'll fill you up with God's power. It's the source of your power. Amen. You know, it took me a long time to catch up with my wife and my daughter to get a smartphone. I had what I called a dumb phone. It was, you know, I didn't have the data plan, and I'd get these bills for, you know, calling ADAC Alaska and all these other places that I don't even know where they are, let alone call them. So before, I said, take me off that data plan, because I don't want to be paying for calls and stuff I didn't make. So for a long time, I fought getting me a smartphone, and now I'm figuring out I maybe wasn't so smart not getting a smartphone before. But how many of you know, when you have these phones, listen to me now, when you have these phones, they have literally computers on the inside of them that can do all kinds of stuff. You can surf the web, you can look at the weather, you can look at stocks if you're into investing in the stock market. You know, you can Google and find out information if you're going to school, or you can find out about medical situations. You can do all kinds of things with that smartphone, providing, okay, providing it's charged up. If that thing goes down to no battery power, I don't care how much capacity that thing has, it will do you absolutely no good. And that's why, as a Christian, come on now, I'm going to preach better than you are, amen. And as a Christian, he wants you to be like the smartphone that's charged up. He wants you to be a smart man of God. He wants you to be a smart woman of God. He wants you to be a smart father, a smart mother. How? He wants you to be charged up. Amen. When you're in the Word, did you know what you're doing? You're downloading. Amen. You're downloading faith into your spirit, man. Amen. You're tapping into the supernatural power of God that goes on the inside of you that begins to build you up. That's what you're doing. And a lot of people, sad to say, but if you could look at their spiritual battery, come on now. And the good thing about it is that there's so much power in this Word, you don't need to get under guilt or condemnation if you haven't been plugging in as much lately, because these new smartphones, they can charge up in a couple of hours. That's why the Word says it's quick and it's powerful. Tell your neighbor, we're going to start downloading more. Amen. Say, we're going to operate better than the smartphones. Yes, we are. Glory to God. It's alive and powerful. It's full of power. It's your power source. And then in Revelations, let's go there, last book of the Bible, Revelations chapter 12. This is a very, very familiar scripture here. Revelation chapter 12. And look at verse 11. It says, and they overcame him. Who's the him? The wicked one, the defeated one. They overcame him. Notice, he didn't overcome them. They overcame him. Who's the they? I'll show you who the they are. Look at this now. And they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. That's being born again and washed in the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? By the word of their testimony, by what they were saying. And they loved not their lives unto the death. That's how they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, having that covenant right as a child of God. But that wasn't all. They overcame him by what? By the word of their testimony. How do you learn to overcome in life? When you have the word in you. You know, the Bible says from the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Remember the centurion? It's a great, great example in Matthew chapter 8 when the centurion came before the Lord about his servant. He says he's near death. He's about ready to die. Jesus stopped him right in the middle of the situation and he said, I'll come and heal him. And that centurion said, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that, Jesus. He says, I understand how this authority works. He says, you just speak the word only. And he says, I know my servant will be healed. And when Jesus heard that, he looked around at his disciples that had been hanging around with him for a long time. He says, I've looked from end to end of this country to find one person that understood faith like this guy. And he said, this guy has great faith. Why did he have great faith? Because he was so much in the Word and understood the power of the Word that he said, Jesus, I know how this stuff operates. He says, if I can just get you to speak the Word only. And this is what Jesus is trying to get across to you and me. We got problems we face. Do we speak the Word only? Sometimes we don't feel good. Do we speak the word only? Sometimes we get a bill and we don't expect it. Do we speak the word only? Sometimes situations hit us blindside. Do we speak the word only? Jesus said, if you speak the word only, Jesus said, that's great faith. How are you going to come to the place where you speak the word only? When the word of God is in you big time, that's when you do it. You know, you've heard me teach in this sanctuary before. And I said years ago when I first got out of the Bible school that I went to, Rhema, over there in Tulsa. When I first got out of that Bible school, the Lord spoke this word to my heart years ago. And I've never forgotten it. I hope you don't either. He said this to me, and I've had you say it before, but I'm going to repeat it in the context of the power of God's word. But just say this with me. Say the word in abundance in my mouth. And my heart is what down the road will set me apart. Say it again. The word in abundance in my mouth and my heart is what down the road will set me apart. Glory be to God. Do you want to operate in great faith? You want your faith to work? You want to be one that goes through life that doesn't become the victim, but the victor? You want to go through life and not be overcome, but be an overcomer? Then you have to have the Word in you. You got to be downloading. You got to be putting the Word in you to where that's all that comes out of you is the Word. Amen. You fill up a water balloon with lemonade and pop the water balloon and guess what's going to come out? You put orange juice in a balloon and fill the thing all the way up with orange juice and pop that sucker and guess what's going to come out? You put the Word of God in you and when pressure hits you and you feel like popping, what's going to come out of you? Glory to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Glory to God. He's honored His word above His name. That's what we need to be doing. We are going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why do we want to go deeper? Because the word gives us guaranteed success. Let's turn together to Psalm 19. We're going to spend a little bit of time in this psalm, but I want to just show you how important this word is to us. In Psalm 19, we're going to look at this together. Psalm 19. And let's look at verse 7. We'll start there. When it says the law of the Lord, it's talking about the Word of God. So just, you know, read it that way from now on. But it says the Word of God, or the law of the Lord, or the Word of God, the Bible says it's perfect, converting the soul. Folks, the Word of God is perfect. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and told the chef you wanted something cooked a certain way, just like you like it? And when they bring that thing out, the waiter, waitress brings it out and puts it on the table, and you cut into that thing and you put it in your mouth and you begin to chew it, and it tastes so good you can't even articulate it. You're just going, People can hear you for 2-3 tables around, and you take another bite and it's And they say, how is that? Oh, man, it's perfect. It's just done perfect. You ladies go to buy a dress for a certain event you're looking to go to. And you look for, you know, hours and hours. And finally, you walk into the right store and you walk up and you go through the rack. And all of a sudden, you see the right dress. And you look at it and you go put the thing on. And you say, you know what, man, this is perfect. And then you guys, you know, you're going to work and you're trying to work and you're looking for comfortable shoes and you can't find the right shoes and you look and look and finally you get a pair and you put those suckers on and you go to work for about a week, and when you're going home at the end of the day, your feet don't hurt and you're thinking, my gosh, man, I hit the jackpot with these things. They fit me and they wear me perfect. Amen? Well, listen to me. When it comes to God's Word, the Bible says that His Word is perfect. Did you hear me? It's perfect. It's exactly what you need. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. In other words, it's flawless. You can bank on it. It's truthful. It says, making wise the simple. We don't even have time to go to Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. But he says he uses the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise, so that people that think they're wise in this world, I'm paraphrasing it, but they look like they're not so smart. When I walk with the Lord, I'm going to be simple enough to just be like a small child and take God at His word. And if He says His word tells me to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to take God at His word. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Amen. Every time they are right. Whatever God says, it's right. And if you follow God and just honor His word, it'll rejoice your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. You like these words here about the word? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and right altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by God's word, by God's word, moreover, by them is your servant warned. And in the keeping of them, there is great reward. Did you know that little Jewish children, when they're barely big enough to walk, one of the first things they do is when they're teaching them the Old Testament, obviously, from the Torah. Did you know when they're real little, they open the Scriptures up and they put honey in it. They pour honey all over the Scriptures. And then they have the little boys and girls get down with their hands behind their back and they put their faces right in it. And when they lift their face up, they got honey all over their mouth and they're licking it. And you know what it does? It leaves an impression on their heart for the rest of their life that this word is sweet. You get in the word, you won't be an angry person. You get in the word, you won't be a person that's hard to get along with. Amen. You get in the Word and you'll be a person that people like to be around. Why? Because the Word is sweet. And when you get in the Word, it'll warn you from making wrong choices. It'll warn you from being around the wrong people, making the wrong decisions. Amen? Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Word of God will help you not to do that. Because there's a heaven to gain. I know people don't preach this way that much, but it's the truth. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And at the end of this life, there's only one or two places we go. And I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven on the first load out. Amen. I don't know if you're pre, post, or mid-trib, but I'm going up on the first load. Glory to God. So it says here that His Word is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, and it's true. And then, how do you go deeper? I'm glad someone asked that. How do you go? I want to go deeper, Brother Dean. Well, here's how we're all going to go deeper. Can you say amen? Let's turn to Psalm 1. Three little steps, and we're going to be done tonight. And I know when I said three little steps, some of you probably been on that cruise ship down there out of New Orleans. So, you know, we're not doing to the right, to the right. Some of you have been there, I can tell already. To the, oh, shut up. It's fun being saved. Amen. But in Psalm 1, it says here, they're still laughing. You've been on that boat a few times, haven't you? Giving yourself away back there to the... I got to stop. Anyway, watch this now. It says blessed. How many of you know that in the Hebrew here, that word blessed means extremely happy? Extremely happy is the man or woman who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight or her delight, this delights them. Their delight is in the Word of God. They delight in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Do you delight in the Word of God? You should. Amen. But their delight is in the Word of the Lord, and in His Word does he meditate day and night. He meditates in the Word day and night. It keeps him from walking the wrong way. It keeps him from receiving the wrong counsel. It keeps him from being around people that give him the wrong advice. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or in the Word of God, and in His Word does he meditate day and night. See, you guys know this. I've said this before. But there's a mashed potato, and there's a sweet potato, and there's a hot potato, and there's a baked potato, and there's a fried potato. But you want to be a meditator. That's the best tater you can have, is a meditator. Anyway, meditate in His Word day and night. And night and day. You say, well, how do you meditate? What does it mean to meditate? Well, the word meditate means to murmur. It's like you take a scripture or two and you look at it and you read it out loud. And you look at it again, and you say it out loud, and you think about it. Then you go back and you look at it again, and then you say it out loud, and then you think about it. And you say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? And then you go back and read it again, and then you say it out loud, and then you think about it. Then you go back and read it again, say it out loud, read it again, think about it. And little by little, that word, it'll go from on the page to in your head to down in your heart. And when it comes up out of your heart, guess what'll happen? It'll work. Because John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, if it's living on the inside of you, he says, then you can come to a place where you ask what you will and it'll be done. That's the difference between making God's Word work and people that get frustrated and wonder why the Word doesn't work, because they're speaking the Word of God out of memory. Amen. And it's more in their head than it is in their heart. The only way you're going to get the Word down into your heart and make it work is when you start meditating in His Word. Meditate day and night. Listen, Brother Copeland said one time, there's enough power in God's word to run the devil off just using the begats. But if you'll take one or two verses of scripture, I promise you, put it on a 3x5 card, I promise you, read it in the morning, say it to yourself a few times, put it on the mirror if you need to, go through the day, pull it out of your pocket, look at it, read it, say it, think about it, that word will be so powerful in your heart, nobody will ever talk you out of it. That's how you meditate. You don't meditate in the Word just by taking a little glance at the Word. You don't meditate in the Word just by reading the Word. You meditate in the Word when you spend time camping out in it, camping out in that verse or two, camping out in that text, saying it and looking at it, rehearsing it, going back over and over and over in it. Then it becomes real to you. Did you know that when you meditate in the Word, you're really talking yourself into believing what the Scripture says? You really are. You ever seen someone that's really good at painting? I know this guy that used to use these great big barn brushes. He was good. You know, he always did these trees and outdoor scenes. You know, he'd take these big paint brushes. But the first thing he would do is take that empty canvas and he'd dip it in different kinds of paint and mix it up. And then he'd just kind of dab it and you'd see pine trees and mountains and streams. I mean, the guy was good. But he would always set that painting up by doing the background first. Then he would fill it in with detail, and then more and more, and little by little, that thing would take on a great big beautiful picture from nothing but a blank canvas. And see, this is what meditating in the Word will do. The first time you look at these Scriptures, they may not be real to you so much. I mean, you'll know that it's God's Word, but you won't have it in you. But you keep going back over those Scriptures and you say them and you look at them and rehearse them, read them again, think about them. Every time you do, you get a deeper, deeper, deeper impression in your heart, and all of a sudden, it'll be like the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God on the canvas of your heart and He paints it in there. Glory to God. You say, well, does this stuff work? Yeah, it does. In healing school, we've had people come off of kidney dialysis machines. Yeah, it does. We've had people with 4 stages of brain cancer, 4 stages of stomach cancer, healed by the power of God. You know why? Because they learned that this stuff works. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's full of power. But it says if you'll meditate in the Word day and night, look what will happen. Then you're going to be like a tree. Hallelujah. That's planted by the rivers of water. And you'll bring forth much fruit, hallelujah, in your season, and your leaf won't wither. And this is the best part. If you'll meditate in God's Word, I didn't make this up. If you'll meditate in God's Word day and night, whatsoever you do shall prosper. I said, if you'll meditate in God's Word day and night, whatsoever you do, it'll prosper. I said, whatever you do. If you'll meditate in the Word day and night, whatever you do, brother, it'll prosper. That's powerful stuff. That's guaranteed success. Aren't you glad for that? You know, you can have people sitting all around you in church, and some of them will take this and they'll run with it. And a year from now, they'll be entrepreneurs when they were working for someone. A year from now, they'll have a marriage that's so good that people look at them and say, my gosh, looks like a whole different couple there. You'll see people that'll be so positive when at one time they were so negative. You say, is that the same person they were? Amen. He says, whatever you do, it'll prosper. I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good deal. By meditating in the Word. You ready for the next one? 3 of you are. Real quick, Romans 10:17. We're almost done. We're winding this up. Romans 10, and we'll look at a very familiar scripture here. Romans 10 and verse 17. This is why the Word is so good. The Bible says the just will live by faith. But here it says, so then faith comes by having heard. You mean your Bible doesn't say that? No. No. It says, so then faith comes by and hearing by. So the word produces what? Produces faith. How much faith do you want to operate in? How much faith you want working in your home? How much faith you want working in your body? How much faith you want working in your business? How much faith you want working in your relationships? How much faith you want working in your company? How much faith you want working in your job? How much faith you want working in your health? Oh, here's a good one. How much faith do you want working in your future? Well, it says here, this is how it's going to happen for you. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say so then faith comes by having heard. I'll say it to you this way. This is the second way that you're going to get deeper in the Word. So then faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing. Are you getting it? That's how faith comes. That's how you'll get deeper in the things of God. The third thing is this. 2 Timothy, we're going to end up with this. Tell your neighbor, thank God. We're winding down with this one. Amen. Almost ready to go home. This is very, very important, though. Of all the things we've shared tonight, this is very important for you to know. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, and we'll look at 2:15. There we go. He's helping me out here. You know, there's two Timothys. Did you know that? If you're in 1 Timothy and you're looking for 2 Timothy in Scripture, you'll never get there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this. Read to show yourself approved unto God. Skim to show yourself approved unto God. Speed read to show yourself approved unto God. No, it says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing in the Hebrew means this. It means setting straight the doctrine. Setting straight the doctrine. You know, one of the signs of the last days, it says in the last days there's going to be doctrines of devils. It says people having itching ears going to have people tell them what they want to hear. When we all know that the Bible says, woe be unto them that call evil good and good evil. There's something wrong with that description. But it says here, amen, we need to preach it. That's the way it is. But he says here, study to show yourself approved unto God, being a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but learning how to rightly divide or set straight the doctrine of the Lord. The only way you can do that, folks, is to get yourself a good concordance, get you some Bible dictionaries, get you some Haley Bible's handbooks, Strong's Concordance, and begin with the concordance in the back of your Bible, and don't just read it shallowly, but go in there and take subjects that you really need to learn about and study them out. Now, this is going to help you from a practical standpoint. I'm almost done, but this is worth the trip here tonight. A lot of people want to be a walking Bible and become an expert and know everything about everything. They do. And that's a sincere desire. But here's the problem with that. Some people don't have any problem with sickness. They're always healthy. But financially, they're always struggling and barely getting along. Some people have problems with different areas of their life, and yet they never take the time to go back to the concordance and look for these areas in the Scripture and study them out. You'd be better off to say, Lord, show me where I need to be in the Word to shore up this area of my life, and the Holy Spirit will do that. Anytime that you study the Word of God Don't ever forget that the Holy Spirit's job is to lead and guide you into all truth and to show you things to come. So anytime you open up God's Word, the first thing you ought to do is say, "Now, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. You know everything about the Word, so I'm inviting you to help me. Teach me what I need to see tonight or this morning or whenever you study. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to see from this," and He will. I'll tell you, you'll start reading and He'll take you off in a whole different direction if you'll listen, because that's His job, is to lead and guide you into all truth and show you things to come and bring everything to your remembrance that you've been taught. But the only way you're going to go deeper in God is not just reading the Word alone. Reading the Word is good. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? Meditating in the Word is powerful. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. That's how you get the Word in your heart. And it comes out of your mouth with faith and it works. But don't forget that you need to learn how to be a student of God's Word. You need to study. Now listen to me. It says study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man, but unto God, being a workman. In other words, when you get into this Word, you'll learn how it works. You'll learn how faith works. You'll learn how your confession works. You'll learn how a marriage is supposed to work. You'll know how your finances are supposed to work. You'll know how to operate in peace. You'll know how to operate in joy. The Bible has all the answers that you need, but you're not going to get them just because someone else has given them to you. Wouldn't that be something if you're still feeding your child a bottle when they're 45 years old? Hello? No, everybody, God expects us all to grow up. And the only way we can grow up is to take ownership of this Word and say, if He says in there that I am more than a conqueror, then I want to walk that way, I want to live that way, and I want to be that way. If He says in His Word, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, then I believe there's power in that Word to strengthen me so that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If He tells me in there that the joy of the Lord is my strength and I'm low on my joy level, that means I need to get back in there about joy and get that joy bubbling up. It's all in the Word. But you're not going to get it just by accident. Oh, wouldn't that be nice if He could just say, well, you know, the Bible's super, it's a supernatural book. So, you know, I'm kind of tired tonight, and I know there's power in there to build my faith up and make me strong and give me money and favor and all the blessings and all that stuff. But I don't feel like doing that. I think I'll just do the old osmosis thing here and just let the Word of God go into my spirit somehow. I know that's getting a little bit out there, but it's not going to happen that way. You can be strong. Amen. You can get your faith operating like never before if you'll get in God's Word and let the Word get in you. And there's nothing you won't be able to accomplish, because all His promises are yes and amen. But you got to have that hunger for the Word, and you need to go deeper in the Word. How about as a church, we're known in this community as people that know the Bible. Amen. They know the Word of God. It's one thing they can say about this bunch right here. Daniel 11:32 says this, and we're going to end with this. The Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen? Well, you can't know God without knowing His Word. Him and His Word are one. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand up.